guys, welcome to our podcast.
We're called Corn on the Cob.
It's a pun, get it?
Yeah, like corn on the cob, but this time the corn's on the macabre.
We like yucky stuff.
Death and dying, and things surrounding it.
And like, we want to kindly extend a warm welcome to like, demon, cryptid.
Yeah, cryptids for
and
sure.
And like... ghosts aren't the same thing as
weird
demons.
Ways to die, which would go under
weird shit.
Maybe a little bit of talk about what anime or folk punk music I'm listening to.
What music are you listening to?
I'm going to an AJJ concert on
Monday. Shit, yeah, I forget. Is that tomorrow?
Yes.
God damn.
My favorite band, I'm sorry.
Hey, heads up. She's going to an AJJ concert on a Monday.
Yeah, and I have work the next day on a Tuesday.
I would cry.
Yeah, I have a doctor's appointment at 9 in the morning, going to work, deucing out of work early, going to AJJ, and then waking up and going to work.
Damn.
And
take
I
pictures.
Cancel counseling. Oh, I will.
Take so many.
I'll take Sean and Ben home. Please don't listen to this at AJJ. Thank you.
Are you going to take Stevie with you?
Stevie can't go.
What a turd.
I know. So I'm taking Jaslyn.
I saw her literally yesterday.
Joanne?
I didn't know she worked there.
And oh, she's working there again?
Hey! Yeah.
Oh.
XD's not. She's working at Sally's now.
I'm sorry that you...
which doesn't surprise me.
I almost talked crap about somebody.
Oh.
Not Exy.
I love her.
No, Exy, I love you so much.
Exy, you're a baby.
It was somebody who did me wrong.
Break them.
It was.
And you just mouthed the words.
You've got to police me and not let me do that.
Yeah, on this podcast, we're only here to talk shit about demons
and talk good about people we love, like Exy and Jaslyn and Stevie and Harlow and Alexa.
It's me.
The second episode, and y'all are getting shout outs. Are you even listening?
Probably not.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, hey. This is my one shout out. I only get one.
Okay.
I'm imposing that on me. Todd!
Hi, Todd.
Hi, Todd.
Are you just going to scream Todd's name?
Yeah, that's right. What I do when I scream. I'm like, Todd! That's going to get real loud. Yeah. I just like yelling at him because it's funny.
Todd's a real good name.
Reminds me of like anytime you see anything about Bethesda. I was like, Tom Howard!
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, hi. I get to start this
time. Harlow starts because I started last time.
It's my turn. My case this week is about Jennifer Harris, a 28-year-old woman who was found in the Red River near Bonham, Texas. So, her nude body was found by fishermen in the Red River.
I like Red Riviere. I kind of like where you're going with that at first. Sounds like a boutique.
Red Riviere. Her body was found by fishermen in the Red Riviere.
Oh, actually, Red Riviere. It's not a mannequin.
What?
Like, everyone thinks a dead body's a mannequin.
Oh, shit, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, it wasn't. And she was found May 18th in 2002.
Oh.
So, like, 18 years ago. So we'll talk about Jennifer first. She was an extremely smart, woman, and she had this, like, I will never shut up about her hair. She had this, super curly, wavy red hair, and it was, like, red.
I mean...
like, beautiful red. It was so good.
Said this last time at Failed Recording Zone, but... Merida from Brave.
And, like, yes.
And, like, almost more hair than that.
Like, her hair is fucking fab, and I am jealous. So, she had graduated high school and married her high school sweetheart, Rob Holman. And then she went to college and got a bachelor's in aquatic biology and then a master's in kinesthesiology, wellness, nutrition from Stephen F. Austin. She really liked the outdoors and nature. She would do hiking and yoga. She was a cheerleader. She played tennis and was described as like just this general like free spirit. I mean, she did yoga. So I feel like you do yoga, you're a free spirit.
Yeah, that's
so like
just
she seems
point.
Really fucking chill, and
yeah.
I would probably like her.
Hang out with
met.
Her.
Yeah,
yeah. She'll show you some crystals.
She'll show me some cool rocks she found on her hike.
Yeah,
fuck yes.
Hell yeah. She's like, this is petrified wood. This is onyx. This is sedimentary rock.
I was saying, do you know any more rocks?
this is agate. This is
okay. He's going to name some rocks.
Tiger's Eye Jasper. It helps with your primal protection.
Primal protection sounds really, really dope. Cool.
And there's this place called the Rock Barrel in Richardson, and you should go there.
Is it just full of rocks? Oh my fucking god, I need to go.
A whole bunch of yogis there, like, I'm gonna align my chakras, and I'm just like, rock, rock, I just want rocks.
Man.
Says the person who cleansed this closet for creativity. I did.
I thought you were just burning candles. Aw, man. I feel blessed. Anyway.
We're recording in a closet.
Yeah, hey guys, we're still in the closet. It's fine though, because it's actually really nice. That's about Jennifer. So here we'll just get into everything leading up to her murder and disappearance. So like I said, Jennifer was married to her high school sweetheart, Rob Holman, but they really didn't have the smoothest relationship. There were claims that he was abusive towards her. And now this was never confirmed if it was, like, verbal or physical, because Jennifer had never filed any actual police reports. There was also a factor that at the time the couple was living in Dallas.
Oh.
And, yeah, so, like, not far. And Jennifer, she loved it there. She liked being in the city, and it was definitely for her. But Rob, he was not a fan and really liked being out in the country like how Bonham was. And he eventually did move back there, but...
Why would you go back?
I don't...
Sorry, Bonham. I don't like living in the country.
I kind of. I like in the in-between.
Whenever I was leaving your house when we recorded that one time and I opened the door and it was so dark, I literally almost had a panic attack.
Oh my god. I was like, sorry.
Like, I felt like I was like walking into a sheet of like... It's been black. Such a long time. Yeah. Without light pollution.
Because you just, it's bright everywhere here. So, he moved back to Bottom, but before he actually moved back, Jennifer's father had just stopped by to make a visit, and he just sort of made a discovery. He said he remembers seeing holes in the wall, and he had a pretty good feeling that it was Rob, and said on the 48 Hours episodes, it looked like he took his fist and knocked 5 holes in the living room wall, about as big as a softball.
Oh my gosh.
And like, that's fist size. That's dude fist size.
Like a man.
Yeah, but there were like holes in the wall.
Oh my god.
Jennifer's sister also remembers issues with Rob and mentions that one night Jennifer had called her with her voice just shaking. And Jennifer said that Rob had come home drunk that night and raped her. She never filed a report. And honestly, it was like 2002, they were married, and even if it was her, yeah, like, I don't blame her. Like,
well, I mean, we know that even today, like, I mean, what is it, 18 years later, mm-hmm. Almost 20 years, that we don't believe, we, as a general, not a, we, yeah, being you, yeah. Like, that... women can be raped by their husbands, or husbands can be raped by their wives.
It's just a real shit situation, because anyone who's known them knows they've known each other since high school.
Yeah.
Why would that happen to them? They're fine. So, but yeah, even if it was an abusive relationship, being married only makes it that much harder to get out of it.
Yeah.
And even just report it and have it taken seriously. So here's the deal. After her disappearance, which we'll get into that in a second, Rob had been interviewed by the police and told him that she was the abusive one. He said in his interviews, and this is a quote, "She was hot-tempered when we were married, and it was generally her way or no way. Sometimes I'd grab her, wrap her up, keep her from hitting and shit." So I'm imagining, like, if she did get aggressive, just a fucking big bear hugging her so she couldn't hit him. But that's when everything is alleged, because she never filed reports, which honestly, I'm so conflicted about, because I believe her.
Yeah.
But I it just helps the case so much.
And at the end of the day, she's not alive to defend herself and say her side of the story.
And even if it was Rob who was being abused, he never filed a police report. So either one of them, if there's abuse, there's nothing to corroborate, like, actual proof of either side.
Yeah, which is like... unfortunate, but pretty common.
Yeah. So she had enrolled into this massage therapy school in Dallas and met this guy named James Hamilton. And they got along super, super well. And they eventually decided that they wanted to start a business together, and that they did. James Hamilton eventually moved in with Jennifer because at the time they were still married, but Rob had moved back to Bonham.
So they were separated.
So they were separated, and she had an empty spot, and they were business partners and friends. So yeah. It just kind of worked that way. Jennifer's sister said on the 48 Hours episode that the whole thing was just no good in her opinion, because at the time, again, Jennifer was still married, and Hamilton, James Hamilton, the guy she met was doing the business with, he was living with the mother of his child, and they had another on the way. So he already has a baby and a half, essentially, with someone else.
Okay.
And is living with this other woman.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I kind of disagree with the sister, because it just sounds like they're both separated.
That's what it sounds like to me. But and even, like,
even if there's a baby on the way, you can still be separated. Yeah. It sounds like
it doesn't mean it one thing or the other. Like, it sounds like they're either both not communicating with their partners, mm-hmm. or something's bad regardless.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not that big of a deal to me. But he apparently asked Jennifer to marry him, like, multiple times. And when she said no, she just sort of lost interest in, like, the friendship and the business and all of that.
This is so complicated. Mm-hmm. So Jennifer and Robert, it's technically married.
They are still married, but
separated. They're separated. Yes. So Rob's in Bonham and she's in Dallas. That's a clear separation. Mm-hmm. And then James Hamilton lives with her now at her apartment. Mm-hmm. And he has a wife who sounds
or a baby just mom. Just a girlfriend.
Or a girlfriend who he's clearly separated from if he's mm-hmm. living with Jennifer.
And he's asking Jennifer
to marry him. That's so complicated. Yeah. That's so much drama.
Yeah.
And she kept saying no.
And she said, no and lost interest. And eventually she did get a divorce from Rob. But in the spring of 2002, the business with Hamilton, as well as their, like, friend relationship, had just fallen apart, and she was completely bankrupt. So she, in this whole time, she had gotten a divorce. I want to say 2 years earlier, her father had died. She's bankrupt, like, lost her business, all alone and shit. So it's just a bad time.
She's just going through the shits.
Mm-hmm. So with no way of making money, she was just stuck. Her cousin, Sue and Bowen, mentioned on the 48 Hours episode that Jennifer had told her that she had gotten back in touch with her ex-husband, Rob, who at the time had a girlfriend.
Okay.
So, Rob's dating again.
Okay.
And they're divorced, and she's single.
I think I made this point in the failed recording sesh, mm-hmm. that, like, I don't think it's unusual for a freshly divorced couple to hook mm-hmm. up. Like, I think that's a really common thing. Because, I mean, they were dating since they were in high school. Yeah, there's a familiarity. I'm not saying it's a good thing that happened. But there's a familiarity there where
you've known each other for this long. And there's another layer of, if it was an abusive relationship, either way, going back to that, super fucking easy.
Yeah.
Because either this person has just manipulated you, or you're just like, I don't know anything else besides this person.
Yeah, and that's, you're exactly right, because that's where you're comfortable, and they're, mm-hmm. like I just said, like, you're familiar with that.
So she had gotten back in touch with Rob, who had a new girlfriend. She also said that Jennifer said to Rob that she still loved him and wanted him back, and, like, she told this to Rob. And Rob even admitted to the police that they had had sex 4 or 5 times since Christmas. I don't know what the time frame was from Christmas to the police interview. At least spring. So a couple months. So even in that time, they have been together and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he had a girlfriend still, but regardless, they had met up, at least talked, and then had sex or whatever.
Okay.
Which isn't a big deal, but whatever. So she was seen with a moving truck outside her apartment, the one in Dallas, by her cousin Susan, and planned on, like, temporarily moving in with her grandmother. She lives in Bonham.
So she's going back
home. Yeah, so she's going back from Dallas to Bonham, home. But on May 12, 2002, around about 8 p.m., Jennifer left a family friend's house, Christy Farr, saying that she was going to go meet someone, and this is in Bonham. And according to the 48 Hours episode, she called Rob earlier that day and asked to see him, but he had told her no. He said to the police that he had plans with his girlfriend at the time because it was Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
So he was going to spend it with her because if he didn't, she'd get upset. So anyway, she got her, like, green Jeep and just drove away, and that was the last time anyone saw her alive.
So the last person to actually lay eyes on her was her...
The family friend, Christy Farr.
Christy Farr.
Mm-hmm. So the following day, so the day after Mother's Day, her Jeep was found by the Lake Bonham Hoedown Hall on Country Road 2680. Yeah, guys, sorry, we live in Texas.
Lake Bonham Hoedown Hall.
I asked my mom... And she was like, oh, because I was talking to her about it. And she knew of, like, another country name place. She, like, knew what this place was.
We're going to go to the Lake Bonham Hoedown Hall.
So, it was, like, I don't know where by that place was. It was just parked there or whatever, but it was there.
Yeah.
Which is from Christy Farr's house is, like, super northeast across Bonham. To be by Lake Bonham. Like, it's a ways.
Okay.
I don't know the exact distance, but it's a while. She was still missing. No one had seen her. So authorities called in James Hamilton, who was the business partner, and her ex-husband, Rob Holman. Both the men agreed to speak without a lawyer and were read their Miranda rights, even though they weren't being arrested. Which, in the 48 Hours episode, they bring in this detective from, like... New York or Jersey or something. He says, oh, that's super...
You just made every New Yorker so mad by saying
sorry,
New
guys,
Yorker
I don't
New
know
Jersey.
Where he was from. He was from, like, North something. I didn't pay attention. My bad. But, like, he had the... I don't see if he had the accent. I don't know. He's from North. But anyway, he makes a big deal about the two men being read their Miranda rights. But I took it as, like, no, they're, like,
small-town cops.
It's small-town. They don't know what they're doing, so they're covering their asses.
I mean, I'm not a authority, so I can't say, but, like... I don't think that's that weird.
I don't think it's weird.
I listen to so many true crime podcasts, mm-hmm. and I feel like I just listened to an episode of, like, Crime Junkie where that happened.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they would mean anything by it. I think they were literally just covering their asses so they could just not make things worse.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me, too.
Hamilton, he had an alibi that had checked out at the time. He was over an hour away with some friends at, like, a McDonald's. He also took a lie detector test and passed it, but, I mean, everyone who listens to true crime knows that you can either be, you can fuck with it yourself and pass, so it doesn't, I don't
make
count.
It inconclusive.
Yeah,
you can,
it,
yeah.
So that doesn't, I don't it's, care about that, but it, yes. It was a thing that happened.
Yeah. Never take a lie detector test and always lawyer up and don't talk, everybody.
Yeah. Lawyer up, shut your mouth. Rob, the ex-husband, he told police, like, no, he was concerned about his own alibi. He had told them that he had gone out to buy beer and visit some friends, and when he got to their house and they weren't there, he decided to drive around the back roads of Fannin County.
Which, I'm sorry, it's a pretty reasonable alibi in that area.
It's, yeah, there's not shit to do. I remember, like, when I was little, we'd just ride around back roads. I mean, during the day, but, like, just looking shit. But this guy did it for 5 hours.
Oh, shit.
Five.
Okay, but hang on. Where we're from isn't Bonham, but where we're from is so boring that I specifically remember bringing my boyfriend from Houston, who lives 5 hours away. That's a long way.
It's a long way. Guys.
To show him. And we came to, like, the local gas
station.
Place? No. We went... Well, we did. Okay. But we went to the local gas station, and there were crickets on the walls, and there were kids just stomping on them for fun. That's how boring it is there.
Remember that elementary school when the crickets would get on the wall? And to get to the playground, you'd either have to go under the fence or, like, just run. Hey, you want to hear another thing?
Do you guys have cricket season where you're from? Please tell us about it.
I want to tell you a real secret about bugs in elementary school. Guys used to eat them alive for fun.
Oh, can you give me some names?
They would, Definitely did. I'm pretty sure he did. But no, yeah, absolutely. They would dare each other to eat them. I want to say that also did it one time.
Oh, we're leaving that in.
Yeah. So, no, kids used to eat fucking bugs.
Oh my God.
We'll beep the last names.
How yeah. Like that. Okay. Yeah, I'll try to figure
it out. Or cut them or something. But anyway.
Can you give me names? Beep. And I just laugh. And everyone from our school's like
screaming. So, yeah, he drove around the back roads of Anna County for 5 hours. And to put this into perspective for people who don't know distances in Texas, this is essentially like driving from the top of Texas, which is like Oklahoma border, essentially, to about like San Antonio.
Yeah.
Which is halfway or Dallas to fucking Houston. Across Texas. Like, yeah. It's a long way, guys. You can just look on a map and see how far it is.
I mean, if you, like, if you want to go by major cities, mm-hmm. like, you can literally go to Dallas to Houston. I think that's mm-hmm. 4 hours.
It doesn't look far because Houston, like, they got fucking traffic. But, like, it's fucking far, guys.
No, yeah, without traffic, it's 4 hours. It usually takes me about five mm-hmm. to get there. Sorry, that's just...
But anyway...
I mean, 5 hours is
it's long. Five fucking hours.
And then you have to stop... This is 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Did he say that he stopped for gas?
There was never any mention about having to stop for gas, which he would absolutely fucking have to. I drive to essentially Austin like once a month. I have to get gas once.
And what kind of what year is your truck?
Oh, I want to like 2000, 2002 or something. So like
yeah.
new for when this happened essentially.
Yeah, and the mileage is going to be the same. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely going to have to stop.
So he would have to stop. So either... So she left a friend's house at like 8. So anytime after 8 p.m. or whatever in that time, he'd have to get gas at like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1 or something in the morning. There's not going to be a lot of places open.
Yeah. Maybe they got it and they just didn't mention in the 48 hours.
That bugged me because if he did do that, there would be either a gas station that remembers some fucking dude drunk, probably.
Allegedly drinking and driving on a back road. I mean, barely
even... You got
even...
a whole case of beer with nothing to do.
That's
you're gonna
what everybody
it.
Does
Sorry.
There is drive and drink back... I mean, drive and drink back roads. Drink and drive back roads, yeah.
Drink and drive backwards. When he's questioned further about the police, he starts off by saying that, no, he never saw her. But the police keep, like, pressing and stuff, and eventually his story changes. He changed it to saying that he might have seen a Jeep that was hers, to flat out saying, and this is a quote, by the way, I was on 898 at the stop sign by the blinking light, and then I turned north, and she was in front of me. She was coming from town. So, and I showed you the map last time, but essentially, the layout is... The friend's house she left at 8, Christy Farr, is just east of a major highway that runs north-south. Jennifer could have essentially drove in past, I think, an elementary school to get to that highway that runs north-south mm-hmm. that we saw her on. She could have gone north for a little bit, and then he would have been on, like, the right side at that stop sign and then turned to follow. That road runs all the way up into Oklahoma, to the bridge where they found her body.
Yeah.
So, it would have been like a straight shot up there if they just kept driving. That's out there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's whatever. But, so, beep, boop, beep.
So, like, right after he saw her, like, pretty soon she was presumably murdered.
Well, whenever he was apparently the last one to see her then.
Oh, yeah, he was mm-hmm. last one to admit laying eyes on her.
Because if she would have been on that highway, she would have already left the friend's house.
Yeah.
And been leaving. So he was...
Was this around the timeline whenever she was leaving to go to the hoedown hall?
She never went... She never made mention of going there.
Oh, but her Jeep was
her
seen
there.
Her
car was found there, but not her.
Oh, her car was found there? Yeah. I misunderstood.
Her car was, like, ditched
wow.
over there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, no, there's never any mention. I don't know if they questioned people there.
Yeah.
And see if anyone saw her, but it was never mentioned, so I'm assuming there's nothing of it.
Small town, I doubt there's any cameras in there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely not. It's, like, in this, like, clearing area. Like, there's no fucking way. Backtracking from like what he was saying just a little bit, he did get that phone call from her the day she disappeared, and that the day she disappeared, and they couldn't find her, he had agreed to take a polygraph test, but there wasn't one ever taken. There was on the other guy, but not him, which is, I don't know, it's weird.
That is weird. Maybe he refused to take one, which is...
Well, he said he would.
Oh, he said he would.
They just never did it. So that could have been then just like, I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe
how
slipping
you forget
up
to question the dude. I don't know.
I just watched a episode of Confession Tapes where they did that.
Yeah.
Such a sad show.
That show makes me angry sometimes.
I have to turn it off.
Yeah. So 6 days later, fishermen would find Jennifer's body in the Red River, completely naked and severely decomposed. When the original autopsy was done, the medical examiner classified it as violent homicide, and that her wounds had affected some of her internal organs.
Oh my gosh. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like she got beat up.
Yeah. And like, I mean, that's pretty typical. If there's wounds before she died, they're just going to get worse with decom.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another thing, and I mentioned it because it was mentioned in, like, literally everything. It was that her uterus was missing. Her entire uterus was just gone. Now, this could have been, like, because of the result of injuries before she was killed, or from, like, wildlife in the river. But I bring it up because, according to Jennifer's best friend, Jill Wagner, Jennifer was pregnant. So
she needed a uterus to get that done.
Like, so, I don't know. So she hadn't had it removed from, like, hysterectomy or something or whatever.
Yeah.
Or
I mean, she's really young. I don't know why. Yeah. Unless she had, like, cancer.
Yeah. But
what the fuck?
It was completely missing. So they, like, sent it to, I don't know if it was, like, coroners in either, I think it was in Dallas. Either re-looked at it or when they just initially did, they said it looked like it wasn't intentionally cut out.
Okay.
And that was probably literally just wildlife. But for that to be the only thing.
That's just so specific.
Yeah.
And I mean, I want to know if there was sexual assault. I want to know if there was, like, I want to know the decomp in the vaginal area, because that would have to be the way that the wildlife would get in, or if there was something going on with their lower stomach or...
But yeah, I couldn't get a description
Did they find any DNA or anything in this case?
I will get to that.
Okay, sorry.
I think I wrote it down in this. If not, I will not forget again. So her friend said to the police that no, Jennifer was pregnant. That story was corroborated by Rob, who was the ex-husband at the
time.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. He told police that about a month before, he had met with Jennifer near a drive-in, which they had met a couple times.
Yeah.
And she had told Rob that she was pregnant and that the baby was his.
Oh my God.
And when he was interviewed again with his lawyer, he says he, like, didn't believe her, that she was actually saying it.
Okay.
So.
I mean, okay.
Yeah. So there's no actual evidence. It was, like, literally just her friend said it, and then Rob said it, and he didn't really believe her.
She's told two people that she's pregnant. Why would she tell her friend?
Yeah.
That she was pregnant if she was planning on just lying about it.
Yeah. And again, with this case, there's a lot of individual people coming forth with information. And, like, I just have to remind everyone, like, at the time, this is, like, small town. People gossip. Like, gossip and rumors with this case is absolutely insane. And there's some more on that in just a second.
If you sneeze in church at 12 p.m. on a Sunday, everyone's going to know by 12:35 p.m., that same Sunday.
That happened to you?
No. Oh. That was just a weirdly specific.
Yeah, people love to talk. I don't give it a bunch, but in this case, there's a lot of stories and stuff. And for a brief moment, the district attorney that was overseeing her case got blamed for her murder. And he had, like, never seen her, never met her, didn't even know who she was before. But he got blamed for her murder.
The
DA overlooking her case got blamed for her murder.
Because it wasn't getting solved and they wanted to make it a conspiracy.
Yeah, it's...
Jesus Christ. Bonkers. I bet that, like, that could have... That's not cool.
Like, and it's fucked with his career.
That's,
like,
what I was just thinking.
Absolutely. He's like, he couldn't get a job or something.
Oh my God.
But, like, no, it fucked with him hard.
That is so sad. I mean, I understand, because don't get me wrong, I think that there are... bad police out there, and I totally think that police corruption is a thing, but there's a lot more good guys in the mm-hmm. system than bad guys. So, like, I just think that's silly. And that, I mean,
There's, in this case, unfortunately, there's, like, no solid evidence.
Yeah.
Like, don't just make shit up. Because yeah. it will, one, send the police on a wild goose chase, wasting resources to get to nowhere.
Yeah.
And probably even further back because of all the wasted time, and then you lose evidence. But, like, don't just make shit up because it's not helping anybody.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And, I mean, that's, like, shout out to one of my podcasts, Murder Squad. Like, mm-hmm. don't name names. If you think that's something that actually happened, like, go to the authorities directly. Tell the
authorities.
Put faces up and stuff like mm-hmm. that. That's so fucked up.
Yeah, it's real upsetting. A year after the murder, Deborah Lambert, she had seen a news report about the case and went to the detectives and told them that she saw something the day Jennifer went missing. She was driving across the bridge that, like, connects Texas to Oklahoma.
Oh!
By where that highway goes straight down.
Okay. Oh, I know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene in Bonnie and Clyde, the one with Woody Harrelson on Netflix, where they drive over that bridge. Nice. I screamed. I was like, Woody Harrelson was in my hometown.
But she's driving across that, and she told detectives that there were three guys out there and a girl. And two guys had the girl by the elbows, and it was like she was trying to get away from them, and they were restraining her.
Oh my god.
I made eye contact with her, and she was what? Scared. Terrified look on her face. My mom seen her too, and she said, that girl's fixing to get raped and killed.
Oh my god. And she came forward how long after? A whole year after. After seeing that happen. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Did she have any descriptions? Were there any composite sketches done? Nope.
She says at the time she was scared to report it to police.
Understandable.
And like, I get that. You live in like a small town, whatever. But if your mom says something like, hey, she's going to get raped and killed, you got to say something. I mean, give a tip somewhere.
I mean, at the very least, keep driving and call the police.
Mm-hmm. And like,
and just tell them, I'm scared to stop. Like, mm-hmm. this is happening on this road.
Mm-hmm. And like, I understand because like her mother was like an older woman and she was,
They're both women.
There's three guys out there.
There's three. Mm-hmm. I thought there was two. There could have.
There's two guys holding her, and then there's like one more. I think that's what it said. So I mentioned this close to, like, you know, mentioning all the rumors and stuff, because at the time that Deborah Lambert and her mother were, like, saw this, according to Deborah herself, it was around 5 p.m.
Okay.
So, in the 48 hours episode, the detective from New York or New Jersey mentioned that this isn't a big deal. Like, I bring it up because she was last seen at the family's house at 8, and they saw this at 5. So this would have been before she went to the family friend's house and disappeared.
And also,
so it doesn't line up.
Yeah, this is a full year mm-hmm. away, though, so...
This is a whole year after, and it's super easy to forget what time you saw stuff.
Uh-huh. And I'm also thinking, this is what, you said spring in Texas?
It's in spring. So it wouldn't have been super dark, but it could all depend on, like, what was the weather like? What was, you know, happening? So
especially
I don't,
if it was, like, cloudy or something.
Yeah, so I don't give it a lot of credit or weight that the time was wrong. But mm-hmm. she still says she saw this, so I give that more credit than the actual fucking time.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But it was a year, and they could have had descriptions or anything, and that's just gone. There was evidence found.
Okay.
They found her clothes, her laptop, and I don't know if it was her keys. I think they found something else. I don't know.
They found her keys, why didn't they fingerprint them?
Well, even her clothes.
Oh, yeah.
They found her clothes, and she was nude. There would have been something on there if they had to either throw it. The perpetrators, either DNA, you can get it from literally
DNA,
just touching
DNA.
Clothes.
Yeah.
Or if she was wounded or stabbed or whatever before that, and shit was on her clothes.
Yeah.
But, fortunately... This evidence was in a, I'm assuming it was all in the same cart, and her cart of evidence and stuff is literally, like, four boxes of just literally probably the same paperwork over and over again,
yeah.
And that's literally it. It was in a storage container
Did it flood?
Outside the police, and it got wet.
They always flood.
Well, the paperwork got ruined. Some of it did.
Yeah.
But the actual evidence itself just went missing. It's gone. So the police lost the physical evidence.
Do you know how often evidence gets destroyed and evidence just goes missing? It floods, it gets purged.
I don't know what the actual off-site storage looks like, but in my head, it's those train cars with the two doors that open real big.
Like the portable building.
Yeah, like pods or whatever.
Yeah.
My thing is, if it rains that much, get a trash bag, put it over the fucking evidence. If it's getting wet from the top.
I can't believe that.
But
her laptop could have had everything on it.
Her laptop, her clothes, I think they found one more thing. I can't remember what it was, but it all went missing. The sheriff had no explanations of how it got missing. No. And
what if someone got in there?
Well, I don't know. My thing was thinking, whenever you check in and out evidence, you have a log for most places.
Yeah.
I was okay, did they check who the last person to go in and look at stuff was? Or, did they lose that, too?
Well, it seems like they didn't have a very sophisticated system in the first place.
And I bet they didn't. It was, Bonham. 2002 Bonham.
In 2000s?
Yeah. So, this is a little bit of an extra stuff. Jennifer's brother-in-law, Barry Wernick, and her father, Daryl Parker, and a private investigator they hired named Jim Holloway are working currently to make a docuseries called Justice for Jennifer. They have a website. It's called Red Rabbit Justice.
At Netflix, pick that up.
Yeah. He's a film student, so they've got shit together.
Oh my God. Yeah.
They have a website. I'll try to put a link on ours so you can go check it out. But during their whole thing, they made a few discoveries themselves. When Jennifer's body was found, there was this blue mud on her, and according to local fishermen, there are only two places in several miles of where she was found where that mud shows up, and they happened to find a riverbank nearby that had that same mud. So she would have either gotten it from there and then moved or whatever, but they found the place
river would probably carry her down.
Yeah, so they found the place where there's blue mud that's relatively close. And even better, on that same night, on the bank where that blue mud is, a small caretaker cottage had burnt down. The night she went missing, the place burnt down.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So,
oh my God.
I couldn't find exactly where it was. Yeah.
Pick it up.
Someone needs to get on this shit. Help them. It's been almost 20 years.
It's time.
It's time. I tried looking it up on Google Earth, you can't see it.
You can't even see it on Google Earth?
No, because it looks like it's right next to a road and the river, and there's trees everywhere, so you can't see it. But all that's left is literally like a square concrete pad. So even if you did see it, you probably would see just a bit, and the rest is covered by trees.
Yeah.
So when they found that, they had this whole crew go out and give the area around that concrete pad a good sweep, either 10 or 15 feet out, as well as digging out a well that was nearby, a water well. They dug it out.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. They didn't find anything, but it's concerning because I want to know if they had professional investigators searching that area or if it was literally just a volunteers. Bunch of people, volunteers, because if it was all volunteers, there could have easily been a little bitty piece of something that they destroyed by accidentally walking
trampling
over.
Trampling the whole entire scene.
Or, ruining. Yeah. They could have easily overlooked something. So, I don't know if that's true.
That's so scary to think that.
Oh, my God. It worries me so much that they could have either missed something completely or just destroyed it so it doesn't
touched things
exist.
That they didn't realize could be evidence. Yeah. Oh, my God.
But, that's it. That's the whole...
That's where it stops.
That stops everything.
What's the name of that website they have for her again?
Their website is Red Rabbit Justice.
Okay.
They are asking for donations for anything leading to an arrest on her case. They've got it up to $25,000. Wow. And they're trying to get more.
Yeah.
But there's information up there. They're asking to pool in for award money.
Definitely go donate if you have a dollar.
Go check it out. Donate if you can. But yeah. Like, they've been looking for like 20 years essentially and have got zero answers. I did email the sheriff. I haven't gotten anything back. Dang. About an update. I know, I was so upset.
I thought you were going to surprise me.
No, I wish. But like the latest news articles.
I love articles.
Me too. The latest ones are from like 2 years ago. Oh. Like, everything's died down a whole bunch. So
they got, that's like, it seems like her family kind of understands that the squeaky wheel gets the grease, but sometimes you need a few more squeaky wheels. So
if by any chance you or a family member were in Bonham in 2002 on Mother's Day and you see or saw a green Jeep and how it got to the country hoedown hall.
If you
hall
were at the hoedown hall and you saw a green Jeep pull in.
Or if you saw Jennifer, we'll try to put a picture of her up too. You can call, like, please call, like, the Bonham Police Department or the Fannin County Sheriff or whichever one.
I also know that she's on the Texas Rangers site and you can, on the Texas Department of Public Safety, I think she's in Ranger Company B, and you can submit an online anonymous tip that way. But like, just, I mean, just seeing her car is building a timeline and probably weakening alibis some people put forward.
Yeah.
So please come forward if you did see anything.
Like, literally, I think it's the father, like, this is all he's doing. Like, I think he lost his wife a while
and she died not knowing.
And then now he lost his daughter. Like, this is literally the entire family's whole thing. They used to do like horse rides along the highway for justice for Jennifer and for other unsolved, like, local-ish cold cases. They haven't done it in a while, so everything's kind of dying down, so any new attention or new information to this case would be amazing.
And we, as like locals in the area of North Texas, kind of owe it to this family to try to make some noise and see if we can figure something out. So if you guys have like a dollar or two, donate to that fund, because a reward money could just one money could be like a pretty good motivator for somebody who's seen something. Red Rabbit Justice. Okay, everybody. I'm going to lighten this up and then make it sad and then lighten it up and then make it sad and then lighten it up.
I'm so excited. So she had to change one of her stories because we had, on our failed record day, we had two bummers.
I mean, Bummers.
It's a really good story, but you don't want to hear two bummers.
And
that
it's bad. Also a little popular, and we decided that we want to present a local or at least Texas case every episode, and we kind of find that really important.
Yeah.
So I decided, ever this case is too big, and then I was listening to some podcasts and I heard about animal trial.
I'm so excited.
So the case I heard was on crime. It was on criminal. I was listening to criminal, and I am an accountant in a very small office. I'm like shrieking in my chair. I'm like, animals used to be appointed lawyers and tried in court, in secular court. What is going on? Criminal talked about this case where a pig killed a kid, so I specifically didn't do that case. But I'm just going to jump into it because this is so crazy. And I'm sorry I'm laughing.
Oh my God.
Okay, so animals were tried as people from the 14th century to the 18th century. The earliest recording of an animal being tried was recorded in 1266. It was a pig. So these animals were actually appointed lawyers in ecclesiastical court. And ecclesiastical court is basically Christian court or like religious court. They weren't giving lawyers in secular court. But neither were humans because of the time of, like the year it was. Usually if they're convicted, the animals would face a death penalty or be exiled. So because I thought this was, like, bizarre and, like, unreal, I was like, I'm just going to get five or six cases and tell them about this.
Okay.
And so the first one comes from Switzerland. A rooster was put on trial for laying an egg. Because he's a rooster, right? More specifically, the heinous and unnatural crime of laying an egg. Not surprisingly, he was put on trial for witchcraft and thus burned alive at a judicial hearing. People came to witness the death because it was taken as seriously as a human execution, like a witch being burnt at the stake.
It's just fucking watching someone cook a chicken.
In France in 1510...
Not the plague?
No.
Okay.
A group of rats were notified to come to court because they destroyed a field of barley. When the rats were a no-show, their lawyer, Bartholomew Chassenay, said that there was no way that they could come because they'd be putting their lives at risk. You know, like, due to the neighborhood cats and dogs.
Yeah, I'm trying to contain myself.
This defense resulted in the judge being like, okay. And he permanently postponed. And the rats never got a sentence.
Oh, damn!
So the rats got free.
Ratatouille's cousins pulled this, like, moves.
I was reading about him. I should just cover him because he earned a name as an animal defense attorney.
Oh my fucking god,
Yes, because of that defense.
I love this man.
I know. Bartholomew's like, you ain't fucking with my rat boys.
Bart, I fucks with you. What's up?
I don't know where this one was, but in 1519, moles were brought to court for destroying crops, which resulted in them being exiled.
Oh, goodbye. Go dig your holes.
Whenever the defense attorney was like, hey. Here's my rebuttal. The judge was like, okay, this is a quote.
Okay.
With a young and two such as yet in their infancy, they are given 14 days to pack up and head out of town.
Aww. Because they had so babies. Cute. All right, little guy, time to go. Like, what the fuck? Why are people like this?
Okay, this one's gross. In 1750, A man named Jacques Ferron, I know I'm not saying that right. He's a Frenchman. I don't know if this took place in France because there wasn't a... It just said Frenchman. Was caught in the act of...
Uh-oh.
While engaging in sexual activity...
Was he fucking a pig?
With a donkey. He was a female, if that means anything to you. That was very important that they put female donkey in every single thing.
He couldn't fucking do donkey or that's gay.
And apparently, there were enough witnesses that came forward on the donkey's defense that they spared her in order that Ferron be hanged.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And in a document that had been recorded in the... This was published in 1906. The criminal prosecution and capital punishment of animals. There's this... We'll put it on our website and our Instagram.
Animal
there's
punishment.
There's a picture drawn of a pig in court. Like, up on the witness stand.
Is he wearing
stand.
Little clothes?
No. He's there. Everyone's just screaming.
Okay.
The parish priest was one among of these character witnesses, and he said, they were willing to bear witness that she, the donkey, is in word and deed and in all her habits of a life most honest creature.
Aww.
Usually in cases of bestiality, both were executed, but she had so many good characters.
They're all like, nah, we love this donkey. This
so
donkey's
good.
My favorite.
I love Martha.
People are just so fed up of getting their animals killed. Like, guys, we need
like,
them.
Will you please stop fucking my prize steer? Because I really, really need someone to till the fields. Thank you.
Like, please stop.
This one's really sad.
Oh shit, is this the one I told you? Fuck! Okay.
Okay, in December of 1916, an elephant named Mighty Mary was being led in a parade by a man who was brand new to the circus job of elephant handler and prodded her with a spear whenever she tried to eat. There's like a lot of reasons why people said he did it, but the one that I liked was that she was trying to eat like a watermelon rind off the ground. And Mary reacted by throwing him off with her trunk and then stamping on his head, and then it killed him.
Well, darn.
This prompted the crowd to chant, kill the elephant! Let's kill it!
What the
And they tried to shoot her because elephant hide is so thick, the bullets bounced off. So they hanged her with a crane. And don't look it up because there are pictures of it and it's really, really
sad. I thought you were going to do the Edison one.
Oh, Topsy? I might
they
do Topsy.
They just fucking electrocuted.
Topsy's really good. Oh, Topsy.
Holy fuck, that's so extra.
Oh my god, there's this local... Okay, hold on. There's this local band in Denton called Fishboy that has a whole entire album about Topsy the Elephant. It's
no
a concept
shit.
Album. It's so good.
Okay.
Everybody look up at Yo Fishboy on Instagram. They're so
Yo
good.
Fishboy.
But like...
Oh my fucking
yeah,
god.
It's so sad.
Why are
okay.
stupid?
And then in Macedonia in 2008, a bear was put on trial for attacking a beekeeper's hives. Uh-huh. Because he didn't show to court the bear, mm-hmm. he was convicted of his absence.
Oh, damn.
But because he had no owner, the state was ordered to pay £1,750 in damages, and that's $2,288 in U.S. dollars for us.
They just leave the bear alone?
Yeah.
I fucking love that.
They didn't have to hang him.
Yeah. And they would have, I would have been very sad.
Some of the things I didn't list in this were weevils being exiled for destroying a church.
Weevils?
Yeah, like they're little bugs. Yeah, weevils being exiled for destroying a church's vineyard.
Okay, pick them up one by one, put them in little cages.
A cow being sentenced to death for accidentally killing a woman by pushing her over. That's the one that they couldn't make leather out of its hide or
just face plant and die or something?
I don't know. I mean, okay. It's like 15th century or 14th century Europe. Like, she probably got like a wound and like immediately died because of all the infection.
Probably fair, yeah.
A pig was sentenced to hang for killing a baby. He was sentenced to hang next to the gallows. And those are just a few of the things that have happened. And there's like a whole entire book, the criminal punishment book. And Atlas Obscura has a really good article too. I think that, you know, even though it sounds ridiculous that animals were appointed lawyers, at least they're given a chance.
Yeah, and, like, also, like, there's so many instances of, like, this kid's punching the dog and the dog bit him.
That's what I was talking about.
Like, you need to
about.
Quit punching the dog, maybe.
Like, you see some of these videos where the dog really does come out of nowhere and maul, mm-hmm. like a child or a person. Okay. I mean,
but
I
if you're provoking the animal.
But, like, usually when kids get bitten, it's because they don't know and their parents aren't watching. Mm. So the parents should be held more accountable.
And especially with dogs, even if it's, like, a rescue or one you got from a shelter, like, they could have essentially PTSD. If you make, like, Fred, if you shake a trash bag or make a loud noise, he gets scared and not run. And some dogs don't do the fear response. They do, I'm going to bite the shit out of you. Yes.
I was helping Carson train her, who was going to be her...
Service animal?
Service animal, thank you. Who, I was trying to help her train her service animal, Bowie, and we had a bright red vest on him. He was still a puppy. Mm-hmm. That said, service animal in training, do not pet. His leash said, do not pet. And people would just let their kids come and touch him. And my thing is that, like, if you're doing that to a protection breed, like a Doberman or a pit bull, that's on you for letting your child run up and not learn to ask permission.
I have a story kind of similar. So, you know how does the hot summer nights.
Yeah.
So we had brought Fred one time. These kids, he's like looking at these other dogs wanting to play. So he's kind of like getting aggressive. And these two kids come out of fucking nowhere and just reach and start trying to pet him and stuff. And he kind of like snaps at them because he don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And he's looking at this other dog. And he's the sweetest thing ever.
Yeah. And like Fred's a smaller dog too.
Yeah. He's tiny. He's like a mutt. But, like, these kids came out of nowhere, and, like, he snapped at them because they were in his space, and he was freaking out.
Yeah.
And then they just kept doing it. And I'm like, me and my mom looked at each other, and we're like, what the fuck? These kids had, like, no idea what they were doing was wrong.
Yeah.
At all.
And it's like, I argue, if a dog is just mauling somebody out of nowhere, then I think that I understand it's a hard issue to, it's a hard pill to swallow. But, like, most of the time,
there's some
like, with my cat, he's not going to bite you unless you're yanking on him or, like, bothering him.
You have to bug the shit out of Nico.
I mean, if you're brushing him, you're going to get bit.
He's an old man.
But, like, Nico has a bite on his record that I have to tell people when they come in that he's going to bite because I don't want someone
You want
to
someone
me.
To be aware so they can act accordingly. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't even let my nephew pet him. Like, I just can't. It's not worth it. But, yeah.
2K20, we're bringing back animal lawyers. don't let your animal talk without a lawyer present. Lawyer up immediately.
No polygraphs.
Don't let your animal do a polygraph. They're inadmissible in court. You cannot do this. Get a lawyer for your animal and do not let them speak to the police.
Your animal has the right to a speedy trial.
Okay. I think we've gone far enough.
Okay. Well, this one was a shorter episode because that story was too funny to not cover.
I love all of them.
They're
so
really
much.
Good, except for the really sad elephant one.
Yeah. If you want to find our website,
we're cornonthecob.com.
Yes. We will have our
show notes.
Show notes, our actual episodes up. We'll have links to the Bonham Police Department, Vanna County, as well as the Red Rabbit Justice page. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, if you guys want to follow us on Instagram, we're at the Cobb Pod, TheCobPod, and we have nothing to do with business, because apparently Cobb stands for something business related. We're just having fun.
Corporate on
business.
Anyways.
And then also, if you guys are listening on Spotify or iTunes, please make sure you download. That's where we get our numbers. Please rate and comment and subscribe so you guys are notified whenever we upload more episodes.
Oh, also, if you have your own local cold case or even just a weird topic like a cryptid or something you want to hear a story about, let us know. You can send us an email at it's the Cobb Pod.
It's cornomacabpod.
Cornomacabpod at Gmail. We will definitely read those and eventually down the road get you a story, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Like, suggestions are always really helpful. If you guys know of anything near you, just let us know. My laptop's about to die. Let's stop recording.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.